statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, given much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Today, God's grip over us. God's grip over us. And I trust and pray that you will be very grateful at the end of this teaching that God has his hands upon us. He's holding us firm. And we're going to start our teaching with this in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at a few verses from verse 12 onwards of Philippians 3. Now that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the reward call of God in Jesus Christ. So he's pressing on towards that goal, that prize, that upward call, that call that is in Jesus Christ. But we get the understanding of the title, what we're talking about today in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. So he's not in any way putting himself in any position that he's perfect, sinless, because he's walking by faith, the same as we are, the same as Jesus did. But he says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So by pressing forward and forgetting about the things of the past, the things maybe where he's missed it or he's missed the mark, he, in his pressing forward, his enduring, staying with it, remaining with it, this is an indication that Christ has laid hold of him. In other words, God has got a grip on him. And he only knows that by the trials and tests of his faith. He knows that because through great adversity, which he went through, he has become aware that God has got a grip on him, a hold, in other words. And we need to experience and understand that as overcomers, as Christians, walking each day with the Lord. And as you stay with this, you are going to become aware more and more of this. But what is this really referring to? Well, we cannot help but remember the fact that we are called, we're elected, we are predestined before the foundation of the world. These are the clear signs that God has got a grip, a hold on us, and it reminds us that we've been called by God. And I just want to bring to your attention again to remind you of what God has done and continues to do. For example, in Ephesians 1 verse 4, which we know very well, just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we are clearly seeing this election and predestination of God, his eternal plan. They're all brought together here as we read these few verses. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This was all done, purpose, plan, before creation. You see, the believer was elected before the earth was even created, even before you were even born. Or even ever thought about. God had a purpose, a plan behind this. And so he says, having predestinated us, he's adopted us in Christ, which he says in verse 5. What does it say in verse 11? In him also we have obtained an inheritance, predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So here we see God's eternal plan in Christ. And we have obtained an inheritance because we've been predestined. What? By his purpose, his plan. And he works all of this by the counsel of his will. He's working this plan in your life, in my life. He's working his plan out as we're even reading and discussing and talking about this. It's according to his will. So he has predestined. We see it's God's eternal plan by which he foreordained all things that must come to pass. And that's why we see in Scripture, when we look at God's eternal plan, it's unconditional. God worked out his plan or purpose after the counsel of his will. We've just read it there in verse 11. And he didn't have to ask anyone about it. He did what he wanted to do. His plan is eternal. We know this because if you look with me just briefly in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 7 to 11, verses 7 to 11, he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you see, it's all being revealed in Jesus Christ. And the revelation that this apostle is receiving is the mysteries of God being unveiled. You see, Israel should have revealed these mysteries in her sonship, but she failed because of rebellion and unbelief. And that's why God has put her to one side until the time when God restores her again. So this was revealed, not only saving us, having redemption in Jesus Christ, our sin being dealt with, but that through Jesus Christ, these mysteries, the mysteries of God's will and wisdom, should be revealed. This is God's plan. And so it goes on, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So everything was created through him and for him. That is why we see in Genesis, in creation, it says, let us make man in our image. He was there right at the beginning, creating all things to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities, powers in heavenly places. So the wisdom and mystery of God is being unfolded before groaning creation, before the very devil himself, the demons, powers, principalities. It's all being manifested. And this is why God's wisdom is in the man-child, that will be revealed, shown to the world. This will be the mystery, the wisdom of God, to those who've been called from the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. He's going to reveal it through his church, through the bride that makes herself ready. It's an unveiling, an unfolding. The Apostle Paul laid the foundation. He sowed the seed to this. We now are part of that seed that's now bearing the fruit, the fruition, the growth unto the fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you not see how this is all being unfolded by each generation until the final generation, when Christ will be manifested through the overcomers, through his church, that groaning creation, Romans 8, will see it, and they will see the wisdom, the mystery, the mind of God working, unfolding through now the body of Christ, the true called out believers. This is why you have to be called, chosen, elected from the foundation of the world. And this is why I go back to the title, God's Grip Over Us. We have to allow God to have that grip, that firmness upon us, because we've had an understanding of our rebellious wills, how we disobey God. And that, of course, is why Israel, her history, is in the Word of God as that warning to us. But most don't take any notice of it. And this is why we preach the cross, that Christians, overcomers, are to take up daily and follow the Lord, because only the cross will deal with that will, that selfish will within us, so that God can crucify it, that the will of God can be performed in and through us. It's the only instrument that will deal with it. And sadly, that is the least that is preached today. Because sadly, most ministers don't have an understanding of what the cross is about, that they too are to take up, that we're to take up. We have much about Jesus' cross he took up, and thank God he did, but very little about our cross that we are to take up and follow. And Jesus made it absolutely clear to the thousands that followed him. He turned to them and said, unless you take your cross up also and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. Why? Because as you read it, it deals with the self, our wills, that are willful, rebellious against the will of God, and it has to be crucified. And God will do it by the Holy Spirit. Christ didn't have to crucify himself, the Romans did it. And the Holy Spirit will recreate, he will do it with us as well. And part of that cross that you experience is God's grip over us. The cross is God's grip holding us so that we don't run away, we don't hide or deceive ourselves or whatever. But we will look at that later on. But that is why I've shown you first about God's eternal plan, where he has called, predestined from the foundation of the world. God knows those who are his. And the only way we will know if we are his and we've been called and chosen from the foundation of the world is that we will remain and stay with it and endure to the end. That is the sign. Anyone can talk about it, but it's walking it each day, enduring, overcoming, yes, making mistakes at times, missing the mark. But the Apostle Paul, we read it back to you in Philippians, he identifies with this walk that we walk. He says, now that I have already, verse 12 of Philippians 3, now that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He has come to that place where he knows God has got a grip on him. And that's what the Lord wants you to know also, because this will help you in your trials and tribulations that you go through, when everything seems to go out of control, when it seems to go from bad to worse, when it seems as though God has forsaken you. You will have that experience that he's laid hold of you. His hand is upon you. And we become aware of this holding, this firm grip. And we are in great trouble if we try to turn aside or try to get out of that grip. You're going to be in trouble, because you've allowed God to have a firm grip over your life. You say to me, how do I know? It's Romans 12, verse 1. You presented yourself a living sacrifice. You've given yourself back to the Lord on the altar. Here am I. I give myself back now to you. What's that doing? You are saying, have a hold over me. Have a grip on me. It's needful because I am my own worst enemy. You know, saints that do that are those who have an understanding of themselves. They have a certain insight about their heart. It's called honesty. It's being open and honest before the Lord, you see. And so because they are aware, they can deceive themselves, they can run away, they can go through all the motions and so on. They have an understanding of that. And they ask the Lord, preserve, keep me from all of that. Don't let me be my own worst enemy, which sadly we can be. That is why God then will have that firm grip over you. The Apostle Paul was doing exactly the same. He became aware of his wretchedness. He became aware of his weakness. He became aware what he could do. But he called out to God, that God would be the strength of his heart. his mind, his all, his being. And God will do it. This is why he allows us to go through the trials and the testings. Many times it's to get our attention. You see, this is why God doesn't deliver us straight away out of a trial or a situation, because he's actually using that to get your attention, to show his wisdom, his mind, his the mystery of God in this situation. He shows us that way of escape, but we don't want it because we want to do it on our own terms, in our way. And it doesn't happen. And that's why we let go, we yield over to the Spirit, we allow the cross to do its work. Then the healing, deliverance, the way of escape starts to be seen. You see, because God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And we are so trapped in ourselves. And the only way we can get delivered from ourselves is that cross we also take up daily and follow the Lord. And the apostle is doing this. And because he's doing it, he's able to teach this and to share this. This is why the early church moved in such blessing and anointing like they did. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. This was what God was telling the children of Israel. And they failed all of this, which is the warning. Deuteronomy 5 verses 32 and 33. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So he's saying quite clearly, you shall not turn to the right hand or to the left hand, because that is what happens when, in this case, he's saying you take your mind, your eyes off my word. That's what happens. That was what he said would happen to the children of Israel. That happens to us now when we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, made flesh. Still the same principle in operation. What did he say in chapter 17? Let's have a look here. 17 and verse 20. 17 verse 20, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So it speaks of blessing, longevity, and so on. When you stay with the word of God and you don't let it depart from you. And then finally, 28, chapter 28 and verse 14. Chapter 28 and verse 14 of Deuteronomy. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So what God said to Israel with regard to obeying him is still the same principle today, but now by faith through Jesus Christ. You see, for God to get obedience from us, we have to be held by his grip. Just like a mother with her child. I know I've said this before. Particularly if you're walking near a busy road or whatever it is. Or you keep the child close to you, or your hand in the child's hand, grip tight for protection. And how often have you seen children trying to break free from this grip? Leave me alone. Let me go. I'm all right. I don't like it. And that's exactly what we do. And God says, I'm not letting go of you. I'm holding on to you. I've got a grip on to you because there is danger around. And you're not yet aware of it, the same as children are not. They don't have that same understanding that we have of fast traffic and vehicles and so on. And we're going to thank God that he has this grip over us. And he has this grip because that's why I reminded you that you're elected, you are called, you are predestined, you are God's choice, and he's not going to let that go. You see, we are, as the Bible says, his peculiar treasure unto him. And that's why the Holy Spirit baptizes us, empowers us. It restrains us from doing many things which may be perfectly right for others to do, but it's not right for you. Did you know that God, for each of us, has certain things that are right for us, that he wants us to do, that may not be quite the same for your brother or sister, but he's going to require it of you? And you see, you need to be on your guard because God has restraints on you. He's expecting things from you. You've got to be very careful that you don't start criticizing other people. Because God's doing this with me, why isn't it they're not doing it? Let's give an example. The Lord may be saying for the next month, I want you up early in the morning, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock for prayer. You've got an unction, there is a calling, there's a burden, or there's something that has to be prayed through. And he's saying, for me to answer these prayers or this prayer, I want you up at 5 in the morning. That can be the condition of prayer being answered. I know, because I'm speaking from experience. I had to press through on something, and God impressed to me strongly, you will only get victory in this intercession if you are willing to get up at 4 every morning until you break through. And it'd be very easy to think, well, why isn't it other brothers and sisters are not doing this? Why does it have to be me? Because that is how God is working for a season in which that prayer is to be answered. Or it may require some fasting. Or it may require a season staying with it, pressing through until you get the answer. Or it may require that you knock, you keep knocking till that door is open. The judge gets up. These are all the experiences of God's grip on your life. And that is what he's expecting from you. He's not expecting it from your brother or sister. He may be expecting other things from them. And we need to be very on our guard not to sin with our tongues. Well, why is this always me? If there's anyone who could hold grudges, resentments, and I say this with all the humility that God gives me and grace, it could be me. It could be me, because you find you're on your own. Many times I'm on my own. Many times God requires from me faithfulness. Do what I show you. Don't resist. Yield to the Spirit. And there have been times, why is it only me? What about the rest? What are they doing? And you have to die to that. You have to die to those attitudes, that thinking. And God's had to work that through me. Because I've learnt one thing. I do it unto my Saviour, who gave his all for me. And has as little as it is, it's my way of returning back gratitude and thanks by faith. That's why we do all unto the Lord. And if you do not keep that one central in your mind and heart, you can become resentful. And that resentment becomes critical. Everything we do unto the Lord for his glory. And the peace and the grace is there. And before you know where it is, it becomes a privilege to do these things unto the Lord. This is all part of God's grip over us. This is his grace and mercy. We have to learn, as the bride makes herself ready, those things that are pleasing unto our Father. You can please his heart. That is relationship. And he wants to show this to some of you, how you can please him. But be on your guard on that one, because God might require more from prayer or time in the Word or whatever it would be. There's a reason for it. You may be one who gives more practically, or you may be one that gives financially to the needs that are in the church. And we have needs in this church. If we're sensitive and open, there are some that are struggling. But God has still got his grip on us. And that grip is to make us sensitive, open, ready to be used by the Lord. You know, Job, very few went through what Job went through. He could have really had resentment to his friends and even his wife, who didn't stand with him. They were basically judging him. Well, this is sin. He's not in the will of God. This is God chastising him and everything. That's all they could see. They could not understand. That was God's grip, God's hand holding him firm, not letting him go. And many misinterpret the book of Job. There are few principles you've got to get right before you can ever start understanding the book of Job or even preach it. And that's why we need to be on our guard. And that's why God has a grip over us. Do you know why? Because we're like sheep. We follow all the rest and we believe what they say. And that's our problem. We are called to hear what God says. And that's why we get into the Word. Because the Word helps us to hear what God is saying, completely contrary to the world, to what the world says. And that's why God requires some to be Nazarites. Jesus was a type of Nazarite. John the Baptist was a Nazarite, set apart. Elijah, a few others, they were set in the wilderness on their own before God. That was God's grip on their life. That was God's calling. And you have to let God be God. Because a Nazarite was one where they were not to have their hair cut. That was one of the laws. The anointing, the strength, if you like, was in their hair. Samson was a classic example. It's a separation under the Old Testament. It's in a sense of power. Power with God. Anointing. And we see a type of spiritual Nazarite today. Some are specifically set apart for that service, that function, in which to minister to the body of Christ as the Lord leads, you see. These are callings on our life. Brothers and sisters, you have a calling. You most definitely have. And you're called from the foundation of the world. You are set apart. You are called to be part of the manifested sons in the last day, Romans 8. This is a calling. This is a seal. You are set apart for this. For a time when God is going to work and reveal all of this. You are in training. You are preparing. You are making yourself ready as the bride makes herself ready. That is why you're having the deeper life teaching. This is why he's separating you from the world and trusting in the world and the arm of the flesh. You have that separation for this. And God has got you gripped tight. That's why nothing seems to change. Nothing seems to happen at times. It's for this purpose because he's got a hold of you. Stay with it. Don't keep resisting or fighting. Just yield to that grip, that hold. Because this is what preserves and keeps you. And in time, you are going to see. God is then going to open your eyes and you will see, thank God he's got his hand, his grip on me. I could have perished and gone into a Christless eternity, or I could have been deceived by the devil or whatever. And we've all had near misses with that. We've all got very near at times where we've escaped by the skin of our teeth, and that is a sign of God's grip on you. Praise God. You see, God doesn't require all to be part of the fivefold ministry. He's called you to be a royal priesthood, absolutely. But not all have that calling to be part of the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They are callings. You are set apart for that. You're called from the foundation of the world. You are called in your mother's womb for that. I knew right from an early age, as an infant, something was different about me. That doesn't make me any different or whatever. I'm simply telling you what was going on in me. I knew from a youngster, from the age of 4 or 5, I knew I didn't fit in this world. I was like a round peg being tried to be hammered into a square peg. And that was my life. When I look back now, I can see God's hand, how he was working, how he was separating me, how the devil was fighting to try and destroy. Because I had this calling. As I say, I didn't find it, it found me. Oh, I had a free will. Oh, I could have walked away. But there was something going on with me. I had the fear of God then. I was too afraid to do that because I knew God existed and I knew there was a hell. You see, I got that right from my early Sunday school teachings. God opened up at the age of 4 that I started going to Sunday school. Didn't understand a lot of it, but he had the right teachers even then at that time. I'm talking today about God's grip over us, and he has his grip over you. And you have a ministry, you have a road that is set before you that God has gone before to prepare the way. And that is the way he's going to have you to walk for his glory. But whatever he calls us for, he has to have that grip on us. Otherwise, we will veer off. We will not like that walk, I can assure you. Well, let's as we bring this to a conclusion, let's look at some scriptures then. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There you go. Gripped. Who are kept by the power of God. In other words, I'm kept, I'm gripped by him. And this is done by faith. For salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The revelation of the mystery and the will of God is to be revealed through you. And he set you on that road for that. You are gripped, you are preserved for it, brothers and sisters. What does it say in 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. Grace, peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. So you receive his divine nature, his heart, for the future, for glory, for eternity. It says, because his divine power is given to us. This power that pertains to eternal life, in other words, godliness, knowledge of him. And he's called us for his glory, you see. Look at the riches of God in Jesus Christ. Look at how he's working through this great and marvellous redemption that we have. And finally, what does it say in John 10? The Gospel of John. John 10 and verse 28. Verse 28 of John 10. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. There you are. You are firmly gripped. Nothing is going to snatch you out of God's hand. And like a mother who loves her child, she's going to clasp that child to her breast and hold that child tight so that it doesn't come to harm. That is our loving Heavenly Father who first loved us, and you are called, predestined, for God's purpose, for his use, for his glory, when all the world, groaning creation, will see the manifestation of the sons of God. That is our calling, and that is why he has a grip and a hold on you. Praise God.
Of God.